topic of family. You know, I wanted to steer away from our normal sermon series through 1 Peter today and talk about family because we're, well, for a number of reasons, but one of them is that today we're taking the opportunity to dedicate Celine Patrick and wanted to take the opportunity to talk about God's view of family. And family can be such a wonderful topic because in family there can be such joy and such excitement, such adventure, such mess as well, and such terrible smells. But those all those things happen within family. But then family can be a difficult topic as well. Family's a lot of work, isn't it? Right? The truth is family is a lot of work. In order for family to function well, it's a lot of work. And it takes a lot of time and investment. It's a lot of effort. And I want to take some time, though, to talk about family from God's perspective. And I want to recognize something as well, that family, the topic of family, can be a very difficult topic. And it's a difficult one because some people feel that family, the topic of family, doesn't apply to them. For one reason or another, they figure, oh, okay, no, it just doesn't apply to me. Some are in pain as we talk about it because of loss that they have experienced in family. And so it's a difficult topic. And for some, it's a difficult topic because family for them has not turned out the way that they thought it would or the way that it should be. For those who find that when we start talking about family, you zone out thinking it doesn't apply to you, I hope to challenge you in your thinking today. For those who are thinking to themselves it doesn't apply because, hey, I'm past that or anything, if you're a grandparent here and you're thinking, I'm past that kind of thing now, let me challenge your thinking this way. Think in terms of a fireman. Say this young man grows up and wants to be a fireman, and he works at it, and it's not an easy thing to become a fireman or just continue being a fireman, but he works at it and he becomes a fireman, and he does what firemen do. He goes and he puts out fires. When there's a fire, he responds to it. And not only that, but he saves lives in the midst of it. And not only that, but he tries to help other people learn not to light fires, right? To increase safety in that area. That's his job. And he does that, say, for 20 plus years. And then at the end of that time, the opportunity comes for him to become a fire chief. And he applies for it. They take a look at his record. They take a look at him and his abilities and everything. And they say, yeah, this is the right fit. And he becomes the fire chief. Everything changes for him. Suddenly, he's not putting out fires. Suddenly, he's not going here and there and doing that. He's still going to the place, but he's overseeing things. He's in charge and so forth. Now, would you say to him that he's not a fireman anymore? Not really. The roles, the responsibilities, everything has changed. But he's about the exact same thing, putting out fires, saving lives, and making sure that less fires are started in the future. The goal is entirely the same. And if you're a grandparent here thinking, oh, we're talking about family, well, I'm just going to zone out here because I'm done with that. Realize your goal is still the same as it's always been. Healthy, strong, good, solid families. You're after the same goal, that your grandchildren grow up healthy and strong. For those of you who are not in a family situation right now and you're thinking, okay, well, this doesn't apply, I hope to shift your view of what it means to be a part of this. Because God calls this family. And God takes that very seriously. There is physical family and there is spiritual family. And for those of you who are in pain because of loss or pain because of bad family situations, I hope this helps us to understand the necessity of good and healthy family. I hope it creates a longing in our heart for good family, and I hope it helps us to appreciate the beauty of God's family and how wonderful it can be to be a part of God's family and gives us comfort as a part of God's family. So we're going to talk about family today, and we're not going to spend a huge amount of time on this, but the first thing I want to talk about this is this blessing of family. You know, we're not going to turn there right now, but in Psalm 127 it says this. It's a very simple statement. Children are a gift from God. Now, I'd encourage you to look up that passage sometime because it talks about children in a few short verses in that psalm. It talks a lot about family, but it says this, children are a gift from God. And the problem is sometimes we can see something like that and, you know, just move on. But that's an incredible statement. That's a powerful statement about family and about God and about us. I sometimes get the impression that sometimes we can see children as an inconvenience. Children are never an inconvenience. You know, maybe they're making too much noise or this. Or we get into this idea, okay, this time we got to, you know, put the children over here so we can get on with our stuff. Children are never that way. Never intended that way to be that way by God. Children are never an inconvenience, but a wonderful gift from God for parents. Parents receive those children. For the extended family, it's a gift to that extended family. And children are a gift to us. You realize that as a church. Now think about that for a moment. Think of the children that God has placed in our midst. Do you realize that God has given them to us as a gift? Do you realize what that means? It means that they are precious. It means that they are valuable. They're not just some random gift that, you know, God accidentally gave us. He's not re-gifting. You realize that? He's saying, I want to give you this specific gift. Now, that's huge. And one of the things it does for us as a church is it reminds us and it helps us to realize the incredible responsibility that we have towards the children that God has placed in our midst. They are a gift from God, and we have a huge responsibility. They offer joy, they offer wonder, they offer the privilege to be a part of their lives. They offer a little bit of mess as well. You know, I mentioned that earlier, but nothing works the way it's supposed to when children get involved. And I don't think that's a problem, right? That's part of life, and that's part of the wonder of children, that children step into the mix and mess things up, and that's a joy. Part of the gift of children. But we also have to realize something else. God gave us as a gift. You realize that? We were all children at one point. Maybe we still are children, and maybe we still consider ourselves, maybe we still feel like kids. Right? But God gave us as a gift. Now, in some situations, we recognize, you know, I didn't feel like a gift. Right, growing up, I didn't feel like a gift. I felt like I was an inconvenience. Let me draw your attention to this. God understood you as a gift. God saw you as a gift. When God handed you to your parents, he was saying, I'm giving you as a gift. And if your parents recognize that or not, it doesn't change the fact that God Almighty sees you that way. That tells you how valuable and precious each one of us are. Isn't that incredible? I hope you recognize how wonderful that is, that God sees you as a special gift, a precious gift worth giving. But not only are children a gift, but we have a responsibility to take these gifts and to pour into them. One of the things we see in Scripture and naturally realize as parents is our responsibility to help our children to grow. Not to stretch them out and make them taller. I mean, help them to grow and to become more mature. Help them to be all that God has called them to be. We see the things naturally, the desire to teach them to honor parents, to act morally, to make good decisions. But there's the spiritual stuff as well. There's the calling upon a Christian parent to teach their kids to grow up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. In other words, to really know who God is and to follow him, to know how to live for God. So many parents and Christian parents seem to focus in on trying to make their child do well in all sorts of important areas like school and be successful in sports, have lots of friends. Those are all good things. But the God thing's often secondary. It all, oftentimes, I find, kind of falls by the wayside. You know, I've mentioned this before. When I was in youth ministry, I did that for about 10 years, and one of the great frustrations I had was Christian parents who wanted their kids to love Jesus, but kind of assigned Jesus to kind of the, well, if we have time. Make sure you do well in every other area of life, but if we have time, we'll fit God in. And then they were surprised when their kids didn't have time for God. One of the things we need to realize as parents is the way we raise our kids tells our kids a story about what we believe is important. What story are you telling your children? What story are you telling your grandchildren? What story are you telling the children in the church who see you and see the way you act and live? The patterns we set and the stories we tell through our choices leave a strong imprint in the minds of our children and on those around us. When it comes to seeking the Lord, do you set a pattern for your children and for those around you that God is always a priority? Or do you find that God gets pushed aside for anything that comes up? If so, your children will see that and learn the deeper story that you're sending, that you're telling, that God is someone who only gets what's left over. What is the message? What is the story that they see? Let me give you another example. When it comes to church and church life, do you send a pattern that church life is a priority and that other things will fit around that? Or do you send a message that anything can come up that can cause you to not be together, to miss being together? Your children will see and learn the deeper message that you're sending, that the church is only for when you have time. You should only be surprised when their lives get really busy. And we shouldn't be surprised when lives get really busy and kids enter into their early 20s and can't find time for church. Why? Because we've been telling them all along that it's only for when you have time. The patterns we set, the deeper messages we send through our decisions and choices are major parts of raising a child in the way he or she should go. But it's more than just that. It's more than just how we approach our children. We also need to have a perspective on what God says family is and how God describes it. You see, one of the things that we see in Scripture is this, and this comes through continually, that God is a father. He calls himself father, right? Scripture over and over again refers to himself as that. You know, it's interesting because that can be a very negative image in our minds. Many fathers have not been what they should have been to their children. Those who did not protect their children, those who did not care for their children or guide or love their children. And because of that, when I say the words God is father, for many people that can be a very negative image. They can say, well, if God is father, then he's like this and this and this. But when God calls himself father, he's not talking about how some fathers have acted. He's talking about how he is the true father, how he is perfect, how he is good, how he is kind, compassionate, faithful, protective, holy. And he longs to show love and compassion to his children. That's what he means when he says father. And God, he does this amazing thing. He brings us into family. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to John chapter 3? John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. We have a lot of guests here today. If you're part of Truth Community Church, you know that we've gone to this passage a lot lately because of our sermon series in 1 Peter has taken us there. But we're going to come back to it again today. Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus. And this is what happens. Verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. And then Jesus is about to respond, and Jesus responds in the typical Jesus way. He just ignores everything that was just said and says exactly what needs to be said. He says to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, that's an amazing statement, right? Unless somebody is born again, they can't see the kingdom of God. And when we hear that statement, you know, it's easy to react the way Nicodemus did. He reacted with a kind of a, what are you talking about? How is that even possible? How can you be born again? How can you do that whole thing again, right? Enter into your mom's womb and come out again? How's that possible? Because Jesus is saying, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So it's an important statement, right? And he's like, well, how do you work with that? How do you roll with that kind of thing? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What God is saying is, in order to be a part of his family, you need to be born into that family. And just as there is a physical birth that brings you into a family, part of God's gift to that family, there's a spiritual birth that brings you into the spiritual family. A physical birth takes you into the physical family, and spiritual birth into the spiritual family. A transformation of heart, a new identity, a new family. He gives another image in Scripture in Ephesians, and he talks about this idea of adoption. God saying, well, you weren't my family, and I bring you into my family. That's what I want to do. And in that passage, Ephesians chapter 1, if you look it up, you find that he's talking about fully becoming part of the family. You come in and you get to be mine, entirely mine. And he talks about inheritance and everything there. These aren't two approaches that God takes to different people. He's not saying, well, I adopt some and then there's this born again kind of experience in others. He's using two images to talk about the same thing. God bringing people into his family, that spiritual birth, that God wants to bring us into his family and make us his own. And for us as a church, God has called us into a new family. And in this family, we act like a proper family, interacting with one another, caring for one another, standing with one another, loving one another. And here's one of the interesting parts. As a church, those who are older then should rise to the calling of being spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers to those who are younger. You know, and you see in a family, if a parent is not raising their child up properly and not showing them how to live and showing them how to make right decisions and pointing them in the right direction, you say, what's going on there? What's wrong in that situation? It's the same in the church. Those who are older are called to be those who help the younger to see how they should live, how they should follow God, how they can honor Christ. And it's the same way going the other direction as well. Just as children add a little bit more mess and a little bit more direction, a little more enthusiasm and excitement to a family, those who are younger in the church are part of what God uses to bring the church to new things, to new excitement, to new directions. It challenges the church and pushes the church. It's a sad day when those who are older do not raise those who are younger up and point those who are younger towards Christ. And it's a sad day in a church when those who are younger are only interested in those who are young. It's a sad day when those who are younger do not have the enthusiasm to push the older members of the family to try new stuff. God as Father does a work in us when he draws us into his family and helps us to interact as a church in a way that is much like a family, intended to be like a family. He transforms us. We are spiritually born again. He raises us in the way that we should go, the way that we were made to be. And we are created, the way that we were made to be, created to be in a relationship with God, but sin pulled us away from that, and God is all about pulling us back. That's what he's doing through Jesus Christ, back into that family. Now here's the challenge. Understanding that our family here is a picture of our relationship with God. Understanding that what we see in moms and dads and kids and so forth is a picture of our relationship with God. It's easy to see that on one level, but it's difficult in another. What about when family stinks? I mentioned a while ago, beginning of the message, that it's a difficult topic, this topic of family, sometimes because family sometimes has not turned out the way you thought it would. What about when family really stinks? What about when family is a painful experience? What about understanding that in light of God as Father? We talk about God as Father and we talk about how God calls us into family, but we might be thinking to ourselves, yeah, but family stinks. My parents were horrible. My brothers and sisters don't talk to me. My kids no longer speak to me or they treat me terribly. Family stinks. Let me give you an example to help us have a healthy perspective on this kind of thing. When family hasn't turned out the way you thought it would. You ever bite into an apple and find that it was bitter and hard and maybe there's a worm in it? You ever had that experience? That's not as bad as biting into an apple and finding half a worm. Right? That's by far worse. But if you bite in, you get that kind of experience, you can respond in one of two ways, right? You can say, that was disgusting. I never want anything to do with apples ever again, right? Maybe it was such a bad experience, all apples are terrible, and that's all there is to it. Or you can bite into that apple, be disgusted by it, and say, wait a second, but that causes me to long for a good apple, a ripe apple, one that doesn't have half a worm in it. Or a full worm. I want an apple that tastes great. And it's the same with God. Sometimes our families have not, none of our families have turned out perfect, but sometimes our families have turned out very negative and turned out to be negative experiences. And that, instead of causing us to say, I want nothing to do with family, should cause us to long for the true family, Long for the wonderful family, the way that God has intended it to be, the spiritual family that God has called us into. The grossness of the bad apple should cause us to long for the wonder of the good apple. And when it comes to family, your family experience may really, really stink, and it may upset you when I talk about how God calls us into family. But when our families disappoint us, it's not that the family example shouldn't be used, nor is it that family should that all family stinks, but rather that the bad experience declares to us God's family and how wonderful God's family is, that His family is perfect because of God, a place of love, trust, and faithfulness, and it causes us to long for the good apple, the pure family with God. When we experience loss within family and our hearts break because of that kind of thing, it should cause us to long for the eternal family with God. God has called us into family, and He longs to draw you into that family. Can I ask you this? Did you know that God loves you? Did you know that God is the kind of Father that loves you with compassion that goes beyond our understanding, that shows a kindness to you that goes beyond what we can really grasp, that He loves us more than we will ever fully comprehend? Did you know that God desires to bring us into the family of God? If you've never come into that family, let me invite you today. Here's the thing is, you know, when we come to this example of being born again in John chapter 3, here's what it's talking about. You know, just as you have the physical birth that you really have no control over. I don't know about you, but I don't think anybody on this planet gets a say as to when they'll be born. It happens to you. God brings you out when it's your time. And here's the thing. Spiritually, it's the same way. You cannot bring about your spiritual rebirth, that being born into God's family. You can't bring it about. God does it. The message of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, is that we can't take care of that. We run to Jesus Christ and we say, my sin has taken me from God, has kept me from God. My sin is too great for me. I need Jesus to take care of it. That's called faith. That's called believing. And God does this amazing thing, a gift of grace, where He comes to us and He says, well, based on your faith, I give you salvation. Because you believe, I will save you. Right? It's not our work. It's not our effort. The Bible even talks about how He gives us the faith to believe. And if you are here and you have not come into that family, I invite you to believe in Jesus Christ, to turn to Him and look to Him to say, you know, I need you to bring me into this family. I need you to do this great work in my life. Believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says by grace or by a gift from God, you are saved. Right? Not of works, not of anything you do. We are born again, not just physically, but we are born again spiritually. One of the challenges we face in this is sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I'm good to go because of ritual, because of something I've done. And sometimes we come to church and we think that's good and that's enough, right? But God says, no, it's something spiritual that has to happen. And sometimes we do church things and we experience church experiences, whether it's baptism or this or that, and we just think, no, that's what does it for me. No, ritual doesn't save you. God has to do this work in your life. And He does it based on faith. And so if you're here and you've never come to know and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you, come today. Believe in Him now. If you'd like to talk to somebody you know that loves Jesus Christ, and we'd love to share Him with you. If you are here and you have been brought into the family of God, you might have troubles grabbing hold of this truth, that your Father in heaven looks at you with incredible delight. Do you know that He cries out the words, I love you, through Jesus Christ? Do you know that He cares for you and watches over you? It's not just words, it's true family. And you've been brought into a family. The body of Christ is intended, the church is intended to be a family with God as Father. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Why don't we pray together? Father, we talk through all of this and we talk through this message of being born again that the scripture talks about, or adoption and those types of things. And we recognize that this all comes down to a work of God in our hearts and lives. And I pray, Lord, that You would do an incredible work in our hearts today. Help us to see how much You love us. Help us to understand how much you as fathers just love us beyond our understanding. Help us to see that. Help us to grasp at least a little bit of that love and see what this family is that you have called us to and hold on to it and cling to it. And if there's any here who have not been brought into that family, have not come to know you, I pray that today that they would. I pray that they would believe today in Jesus Christ. In your name, amen.